Hey moms, welcome to Mom Vibes Only. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Marky.
A one-stop shop for all things mom life.
We are sisters-in-law that are new moms, and we hope to create a platform for real moms with lives unfiltered. Welcome back, guys. This is Marky and Hannah with Mom Vibes Only, the podcast, episode number 3.
Hi, guys. So today we're going to talk about going a little bit more depth about our hospital visits and then kind of just go from there about our first nights home as new moms and maybe get into some of our breastfeeding or however everybody feeds their kids because everything's acceptable here. So I'll start this time. So with my first, I was induced as kind of we went over last week. So my hospital stay the first time was tumultuous. Because they tell you when you do your hospital visits as 24, 48 hours, you'll be in and out of here. It'll be quick and easy. And
you didn't know what to expect that time. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I was expecting to go in, have a baby, stay a night, and go home. So once we got put into the recovery room, the first night went fine. Feeding Rocky was tough. He, as a new mom, breastfeeding is a whole new journey. So one, I'm not the most comfortable with my own self and my own body. So, like, I was really dreading breastfeeding because I just don't want to have my boobs out in the open at all times and the whole world to see and doctors coming in and touching you and, you know, making sure there's latching and all that stuff. So I think that that probably caused some issues
because
they say stress affects everything from yourself to your kid. They can feed off all that stuff.
Yeah.
But he was cluster feeding so much that he wasn't, getting a whole lot. Like the nurse was like, he's latching really well. Like he's eating, but he was cluster feeding. And I cried so much that first night. I was like, I mean, that's a part of your body that is like now being touched all the time.
Yes.
And, so I was very sensitive to touch. And then Rocky just wanted to eat all the time.
Too much for me.
Yeah.
No. Hey, back up real quick. I'm going to stop you because I don't think we ever talked about due dates. Was Rocky before, after?
Oh,
I just realized, was he on time?
3 days early.
3 days early. Okay.
Yes.
Just wanted to cover that because I don't think that we did cover that because I think a lot of people, I always was under the assumption that babies always came early for some reason. And then lately all my friends have either gone to their due date or past their due date and I didn't get to make it to mine. But I was curious because I was like, I always thought babies just came early because they never made it to the full term. Because full term to me was just like too long, I guess. I don't know why. I don't know where I got this idea. But anyway. Okay.
Three days early.
So pretty much schedule was on time.
Yeah. I think I went to the hospital too early. Like I probably would have had like really inconsistent light contractions probably for like another day or two.
Okay.
But I was impatient and I didn't want to wait.
Yeah, no, I don't
But then Rocky was starting to turn. They did his bilirubin, which is a test. They test for liver function. And he was, his numbers were really high, which means that he had a lot of what they call bilirubin, which is like your liver, the liver isn't functioning and processing and getting things out, which is why you track poop and all of those things when your babies are little to make sure they're like normally cycling through stuff.
Right.
And getting enough nutrition and all of that stuff. So,
and jaundice is separate from that, correct?
No, that's what causes jaundice is the bilirubin.
Okay.
Yes. So he, and it's one of those things when you're staring at your kid, he's like, he's not yellow. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, he's yellow.
Highlighter.
Yes. So we started to supplement with formula because they need more calorie intake to try to get that to start processing correctly.
Okay.
And
so
really,
not donor's milk, formula.
Yeah, formula.
Just because there are so many, I didn't even know there was such a thing as
they
donor's
didn't even
milk.
Offer donor's milk because I was producing.
Okay.
So we were doing both. Like he was breastfeeding, I was pumping, and we were doing formula.
Okay.
Like this kid was eating 24/7.
He's hungry.
And then that didn't work. So on the third day we were in the hospital, he had to go under the blue lights.
Okay.
I think I remember that. He put a little mask on his tiny little face and put him naked in this little incubator thing with a blue light, and you just have to leave him there.
Yeah.
Except to feed him, which was really stressful because, like, I think one of the things that I learned with hospitals is they see this stuff every single day. So it's normal to them.
Why aren't you panicking? This is my kid.
Or telling me more.
Or giving me more information.
Yeah. Fair. I'm like, I appreciate you're not panicking, but you're not giving me enough information to make me feel like you're...
I shouldn't be panicking.
I shouldn't be panicking. Yes. And so every time a doctor come in, I was expecting them to give me this, like, this is what's going to happen next. This is what we're looking for. These are the numbers he's producing. And it was just like, nope, he just needs to be in here. And I was like... okay, well, you told me I was going to be in here for 48 hours at most, and now I've been here for 5 days.
Yeah.
So.
When am I going?
When am I going home? Yeah. So there was a lot of crying, and Garrett had just started his new job, so he only got 5 days of vacation. So we were really hoping to be home so we could get into like a night routine before
just bring your baby home together and be
home. So he actually on our fourth day there had to go back to work. Aww. So
I do remember that being tough.
Yeah, and we have dogs, so he had to go home for that, and so it was very stressful. And it's funny, people are like, this is normal, this has happened. I remember my Aunt Beth saying that Sam had it, my cousin, like, not to panic, it's just a thing. But it didn't feel okay, and that just like perpetuated Rocky's problem for the next year. And right. But it did get me into like a pumping schedule for breast milk so early, where as I talk to some moms now, it's really hard to get into that cycle when you're first starting, because your milk doesn't come in for a couple of days. Your baby's always hungry, so they're on you all the time. Like, you're touched out super early, and your husband can't do anything to help you.
Yeah. Change diapers.
Yeah. So, and I didn't have Garrett, so it was...
Your parents still lived here at the time, though, right? I remember.
Yes.
They hadn't moved yet, which I thank God. Because, I mean, we were available, but it's not the same as having, like, your parent, mom and dad. Especially mom.
Yeah, so I did struggle there with Rocky a lot more than I struggled with Sunny. And I think there's a difference between your first and your second, because you don't know what to expect. And when you... I commend all single moms out there, but I feel like when there's nobody there for support, you just do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas when there should be support there, you're relying on the support there, and that support not being there, but you knowing that they could be there, is actually worse.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I have a husband who could be really helpful, but he's not here. So I think that...
And he was probably tired getting off new shifts and new schedules. And
yeah, and luckily he was still... on like in his training, so he worked days. But even I will tell everybody, I'm so selfish. I would wake up in the middle of the night and Garrett was sleeping, I'd get so mad and just like like, if you're laying, and it makes sense to me, if I'm up you should be sleeping, so when you're up I can be sleeping. But it was like, no, if I'm up you're up, we're doing this together. Which doesn't make any sense, and I completely am aware of that. So but I think it was harder for me knowing that he could be there, but he wasn't there, and not for his own fruition, but
not because he didn't want to be.
So when we did get home, we started mixing formula and breast milk to try to like supplement calories and get him functioning correctly. And we had to go to the doctor like every day for a week.
He wasn't gaining any weight at first, correct? Or he was gaining?
He was gaining weight at first. After about 3 months, that's when
his
other issues started. But we had to go to the doctor like every day after we got home from the hospital to test his bilirubin. Like every other day, they poked his foot to make sure his numbers
were going down. Which the doctor was not close to you guys, so.
Actually, we got to go to a pediatrician. Oh, okay, that was closer. Because
I was going to say, if you had to go back down to where you had him, that was like 45 minutes.
No, but we just went to the, like, hospital pediatrician.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
But then he was doing great, and we were chugging along there for a while. I just remember, like, the first week or second week, Garrett was working mids, so he didn't get home until, like, 11-ish, because he was going in at 3, and I hadn't slept, and it was... 7 o'clock, my mom had made me a frozen lasagna and she didn't leave instructions of how to cook the lasagna. Not that I, for some reason, just couldn't figure it out.
Well, you were tired. You had hormones. Your brain is somewhere else.
So I texted her and she didn't text me back. And I was like, all I want, I'm starving. Because when you're breastfeeding, you're hungry all the time. And I was tired and Rocky was not a good sleeper. So it was, I was very emotional and she wouldn't respond to me. And I called her. And I finally called my dad, and I, because when one doesn't, one parent doesn't answer, you call the other.
Yes. Yes,
and
you do.
I called my dad, and he answered, and he was like, hey, what's going on? And I was like, I'm trying to make this lasagna, and mom didn't leave instructions, and I started crying, and he was like, we're on our way.
Yeah. And they were there quick, I think, if I remember
they
correctly.
Were on their way home from dinner with a family member, so they were like, we're just going to stop there, and they got there, and they just took Rocky and let me sleep until Garrett got home. And it was like the best 2 hours of my whole life.
You feel like a whole, it's amazing what a solid, like even a 30 minute nap. I mean, maybe some moms would disagree, but I felt like that first like hour long sleep where you know somebody else has got your kid, that they're in good hands and you're not like phantom hearing crying and stuff like that. You're just like, and you wake up so recharged. It's like, no way.
And you like had just fed them. So you're breasts aren't full. Yes. Like, I just woke up and I heard Garrett come home because I'm a light sleeper. So I had heard Garrett come home and I walked out there and I was like, thank you so much. But yeah, those first 2 weeks with Rocky were tough. And I just remember being like, I can do this if single moms can do this. Like, it's hard, but they get through it. I can do it too. And I just remember when Garrett finally, like the first night he was home with me, I was like, I don't ever want to be a single mom. Because it was tough. So I always try to remember that and like how alone you feel in those first few weeks, even though you have all this support. It's like you're so responsible for somebody else that you think about it for 9 months, but it's not a reality until they're laying next to you wailing and you can't figure out why they're wailing. And it's all your responsibility to figure out how to get them to stop crying.
Absolutely. So how was that different than, so Sunny, obviously you knew what to expect.
Yes.
And he just kind of, I mean, she brought him to the lake like a week after he was born. I was like, I was still pregnant. And I was like, oh my gosh, you brought him. It was like, you got to do this here soon, girl.
Yeah. Sunny was so much easier. He
still is. He's a very mellow baby. He's
very mellow. He slept a lot better. He did start feeding much better, much quicker.
So once he knew what to expect this time, too, as far as like just didn't you start pumping? Like,
I pumped in the hospital with Rocky.
Okay.
They gave me one of those hospital grade things, and so Rocky or Sunny latched on immediately and fed for longer periods. So with Rocky, it was like he'd latch for 3 minutes and then fall asleep, or he was so hard to keep awake, where Sunny was like, I'm eating, I'm hungry, I'm gonna get full, and then fall back asleep. Yeah. And it was like, this is how it should be.
Yeah. Well, especially having a toddler, you're busy.
Yes. So once we got moved over to Sunny's room, we were there after 24 hours. The nurse was like, okay, well, everything's good. Like, his bilirubin is good. That was the one thing we were worried about. Sure. Really. Test his bilirubin. What's it at? And we had so much anxiety that we were going to have to stay, when she was like, everything looks great. His bilirubin's great. You're good to go home, but you can stay. Because we couldn't get discharged until like 6 o'clock. And she's like, but if you want to just stay one more night. And Garrett and I were both like, get us home. Out of here. Which I almost wish we would have stayed one more night just to enjoy just Sunny. Because once we got back home, then there's Rocky.
And dogs and other household responsibilities.
But that couch that your husband has to sleep or your partner has to sleep on is super uncomfortable.
Yes.
And Garrett's tall, so not comfortable. You're in a hospital bed. The shower there sucks. So I was like, no, just get us home. And Sunny slept 2 hour stretches from the very beginning, where Rocky was up every half hour. So he was just so much easier.
Did you do like the check if he was breathing thing, or did you just
I did not have that with Sunny, and I still don't. Like, I'll like wake up and be like,
I'm just saying from like, I guess, more anxiety from, you know, Rocky getting up, where you like, oh my god, this is like too easy.
Almost. Garrett actually got 8 weeks off
Right. So you also did have a different.
Yes.
Your husband was home with you this time.
So we actually did shift sleeping, which I highly recommend because. I do too. It changed my life getting a solid 4 hours of sleep. It still sucks. You're still tired. You still have to get through that through the day, especially when you have a toddler, because you got to be awake.
Yeah.
Your toddler doesn't understand that the baby doesn't sleep at night. So we started shift sleeping immediately, and I started pumping immediately. So right when we got home, I started pumping so Garrett could feed Sunny while he was awake with him.
Sure.
So I fortunately am an oversupplier, so I was building up my stock immediately.
Yeah.
So we were able to do shift sleeping pretty much right when we got home, whereas a lot of, especially like with Rocky, that would have never happened. My supply was not up, but it was like this time my body knew
it's time
to start producing this again. So Garrett would do the first shift from 7 to 1, and Sunny would wake up twice to eat during that time, and I would sleep that whole time and then get up and I would pump and feed him and vice versa, whatever I felt like I needed to do at that time. And then Garrett would sleep. And then I'd get up and I'd get Rocky ready for school or for the day. And then we would start our day.
Yeah.
So with him, it was much easier. Those first couple of weeks, it was like, I feel like we know what we're doing. But I also 100%, if you can have somebody there with you, it is a game changer.
And I'm sure.
Shift sleeping, getting 4 hours is just like, it's a glorious thing.
I know people that have even slept in like separate parts of the house. Like, I mean, Scott and I shared a bed, so I didn't, you know, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I slept through everything.
You're a good sleeper.
Time. But yeah. My husband is a little bit of a lighter sleeper. So, but yeah, I know people that obviously did separate rooms because of that reason. But
we would take Sunny and whoever was up with him would sleep in our basement.
Okay,
or be
that
up
makes
in
sense.
The basement, and whoever was sleeping would be in our bedroom.
Sure. Okay.
And then when Garrett's dad came out and visited in July, we moved back up into our bedroom together. And I think that's hard for me because, like I said, when Garrett is asleep and I'm looking at him up, I just get so frustrated. And that's not fair to him because he's like, just wake me up. I'm fine being awake. But it's one of those things as women, they need to read our brains, but they're never going to read our brains kind of thing. So I would just get so mad. So luckily, like right at that time, Sunny started sleeping longer. So it was okay for a little while. And then once he got into his own bed, he was pretty much sleeping 5 hours at a time, and now he sleeps all the way through the night. Where it took Rocky like a year and a half to sleep through the night,
so. Yeah,
but I think that's because
every baby is different, you know.
Yeah So
the more kids you have,
those first couple weeks are tough, and I think a lot of moms can relate to that, and we all have our own journey to that. But I feel the camaraderie when you have somebody to talk to about it. Because I remember when my best friend had her baby, she was like, is this normal? And it was just reassurance. Even if you've never happened, like every story is okay.
Sure.
So.
Well, I think it's okay. I think that you make a good point. It's okay. Like, you know, if you need a good reminder, like, okay, there's people out there that don't have support, and like, I can do this, and kind of give yourself, like, I work well that way, to give myself like a reminder and be like, it could be worse, or like there could be a different situation. But I think it's also okay to have a complete meltdown and call everybody and anybody that will come running to help you.
Because
I think, you know, depending on your situation, you would hope that most people are ready to jump in and help any way that they can. And just be like very clear with your boundaries. Be like, I really just need somebody to come over for like 4 hours. If you're not a people person, kind of like my husband, I love him to death.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like invasion of space, but like we really just need to take a nap. It's like, I don't want you here all night, but I do need.
And I don't necessarily want to have you over to talk to you.
Yeah.
No, I want you to go over there so I can go do this. Like my mom would be like, I'll just come do your laundry. Like,
yeah
I'll come wash your dishes,
and that's huge.
She's like, I don't want to talk to you. Like, you go do whatever you need to do, but like, I'll keep your house clean for the day.
Absolutely. I think it's good either way, but I think it is good, like you said, if you can rally any kind of support, whatever that looks like for you as an individual, family, friends, distant relatives, whatever,
co-workers. I had co-workers reaching out, like anybody.
before, if you've already had kids and you kind of understand this, but if you haven't had kids and you're listening to this,
yeah,
just yeah, whoever, get a, be a, like, be a part of like mom groups or something.
It's okay to ask for help.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, did we cover everything that you...
Yeah, so okay. We kind of covered a bit of your story, but I wanted you to go a little bit more in depth.
Yeah, I had a completely different, I guess, situation than you, which is kind of nice to get it from all perspectives. But for obviously first kid, so, and mine obviously didn't... Oh, we never talked about Sunny. He was technically... When was his due date?
The 28th, and I was induced on the 21st.
Right. Okay. So he was like a week early, but that was kind of planned.
I planned that one. Yeah. I wanted him... My birthday is June 22nd, and I pushed for him to be born on June 22nd, but my OBGYN didn't work on Saturdays.
Okay.
And so we had to do it on Friday.
Okay.
And everybody told me, you don't want to share a birthday. You don't want to share a birthday. I'm like, this is worse. Because now my birthday gets overshadowed because this is the day before mine.
Yeah.
So I don't get a birthday no more.
Yes, you do. But I totally get it. Yeah.
So when was Evie supposed to be? What was her due date?
August 1st. And we had her the 9th. But they, July. Because, yes, July 9th. I'm sorry. Not August 9th. God, oh, Lord, geez. I would have died. Yeah. So obviously, if you haven't listened to episode number 2, go back and listen to that one. It's a mouthful. But because of a prior surgery, the myomectomy, I had already gotten... C-section cut. Otherwise, I would have been able to have a natural birth, but they ended up slicing me and dicing me. So, I had to get a scheduled C-section, and they don't allow it. They really want to avoid you going into labor because it can become dangerous. So, or at least that's what they told me. I have a lot of people that are like, you should push for a natural labor. And I will tell you, in other, if I would have been healthier, maybe I would have.
Yeah.
But in my circumstance, I am so happy I didn't, because I ended up having, and I'm going to say this wrong again, placenta acerta, which is when your placenta grows into your uterus. And none of the ultrasounds or anything caught that. So when we went in for our C-section, they found out that I wasn't going to be delivering my placenta.
Yeah.
I had to take out my whole uterus because it had embedded itself in there. Anyway, so my hospital stay was different because of the C-section. So long story, jump into the regular stuff. But so I couldn't get up. So bless my husband's heart. He really did everything. I did pump because my daughter, being a late term preemie is what they called it. She wanted to latch, but she latched fine. Actually, she could not. She didn't have the sucking mechanism. And like, it's something in their with their cheeks that she couldn't like pull. So we had to do. We just chose to do donor's milk because we were trying to,
which is an amazing thing.
Yeah, and it was an offer. It was something offered, and my cousin actually, who has 4 kids, she's just very knowledgeable and has gone through all the experiences. But she was like, "Yeah," because I was like, "Oh, is there like a formula that you recommend?" That's just because Scott, Hannah's brother, does a lot of reading, and he scared me with formula a little bit. And I know that there's been kids on formula for years and years and years.
Yeah,
but he's like, "Do you know all this stuff that's in all this formula? And we're not giving her this and that." And I was like, "Oh my god!" Like,
might not have a choice too.
Yeah. So when they gave us an option as donor's milk, I was like, yeah, like, let's just do that. So we did that, and I technically did pump. They brought in the, hospital grade spectrum or whatever. And so I was only getting like colostrum out for the first little bit. And then, as the days went on, it started gradually getting better and better. But so by the time we went home, so I was in the hospital for 4 days, but I couldn't do, we had to wake Evelyn up to feed her. So since she was a little early,
she's always been a good sleeper.
She has, knock on wood. We would have to, like, every 3 hours. And, I, to any doctors that are listening to this, if they ever do, I will suggest, if you are a mom going into a second, whatever, I know she needed to gain weight, but I think I would have, if I would have had another baby early after going through this, I would have let her sleep. And then I would have just like fed her for longer.
Yes, yeah.
For longer, or like upped the ounces a little bit. I know their bellies are little, or just like more cluster feeding in that time that she was awake. Because I don't know, I just feel like she was so pissed off at us every time we woke her up.
Which almost makes it harder for them to eat because they're they're so she angry would, yeah, at you.
She wasn't happy with us. So we would well, Scott would go get her from the little, you know, bed, the little glass bed roller thing that they're on. And she would, they would change, they were like, change her diaper to get her to wake up. And then you'll feed her her bottle. And 90% of the time she would get like super, not like super fussy, but she'd just get like, you know, agitated. And then she would kind of sleep eat.
Yeah.
Because she really didn't want to be feeding. Up. Yes. Yeah. And then we'd burp her and she'd go back down and we'd do that again and again. So, we had to go to the doctor. Well, so, okay, we were in the hospital for 4 days and then we really wanted to go home. We probably should have stayed another day because go back and listen to that second episode, ended up having some complications after we got home and had to go back to the hospital. But, we were just kind of sick of being in the hospital. I was obviously... A lot of people are like, oh, C-sections aren't bad. Well, this was definitely better than the myomectomy, I will say. I don't know why that first surgery was so painful, but I knew what to expect, I guess, this time, but it was really hard when you're like got a brand new baby and you have to do all these things. Like if I wouldn't have had Scott, I would have had to like stay with family members or something. There's no way I could have like done it by myself. Because
you're not like supposed to hold your baby like standing up. No,
she was little enough actually because she was so small.
You could?
I could. Well, that's however, nice. I just wasn't moving very well. Yeah. I was definitely like it was so painful to get up. And then like the shower and stuff, it sucked. Like I think I took one shower just because I was like so I don't know.
Hopefully it will just help.
cut open and stuff. And then the water like ran out of the shower like where the bathroom was because it was like level and it had a drain, but it like didn't. And it like ran out into the bedroom, like the actual main room. And we were just like, what is going on here?
Hospital showers suck.
Yeah. And my husband would not take a shower. And now we live 15 minutes away from our hospital. And I kind of picked that hospital on purpose because I was hoping my poor husband, who does not sleep well and does not deal well with like people coming in all the time, would go home and shower and like take a quick nap and then come back. But he wasn't going to leave. So. Which I love him for, yes, but I'm like,
thing, but.
Yes, but I'm like, I just, we kind of, you know, had picked it for its proximity to the house. So we had her on a Tuesday, we're home Thursday night, but our daughter also being a late term preemie had to pass the car seat test, which we didn't even know existed.
Yes.
And because she was like a little over 5 pounds when she was born. So she had to sit in a car seat for 90 minutes before we could take her home. I know. And I was like, dude, we live 15 minutes down the road. My husband will drive fast. Like we'll leave, not like fast, dangerous fast, but like we will get there in like 12.
Well, and then they tell you not to leave your kids in car seats for longer than 20 minutes.
I know.
So what?
Well, so she failed the first time. So then we were like, oh my God, we're never getting out of here.
Which, when did she fail?
What?
Oh. Didn't she fail at like 80 something minutes?
Oh yes, she failed at like 87. They said like 87, the 87th minute her oxygen level dropped from 90 something to like 87 or something,
and that failed her.
Yes. And like the last six
longest
minutes.
90 minutes of your life.
So then we had to wait an hour and then try again. So the nurses were really nice and everybody was kind of surprised I wanted to go home. And like even doctors that I hadn't even seen before came in and was like, are you sure you want to go home? Like you've had a pretty traumatic, like super intense situation happen.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we need to go home. I need like the comfort of my own house and stuff. And I miss the dogs and I was just like, I need like familiarity. But so we waited an hour, did the car seat test again, and the nurses were so nice. I think they knew. They like rolled up towels and wedged her in there because we didn't realize that we grabbed the wrong car seat. And the other car seat would have had like more stabilizer. Like they were both infant, but one, even though they're the same brand, the one car seat had like way more
padding,
and it would have held her upright to keep her from going like losing her oxygen in that time frame. So they were nice enough to roll up towels and like wedge her in there. And I have a picture of it still to this day. So she's got like her little Smurf hat on and her clothes are so big because they're newborn clothes, but she's like drowning in them. So she's like, just looks like she looks not real, I think sometimes, but and then these little towels that are like wedged in so that she can like keep her oxygen level up so that we could just get home. So we get home Thursday night, and luckily our neighbor across the street is the nurse that works at our pediatrician office, but bless her heart. They came out and was like, do you need anything, like getting in the house? And we were like, no, we're good. And my parents, Scott's parents, your parents were here with the dogs while we were in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then they left and I was like, hey, my parents will just go stay with the dogs until we get home. So my parents were actually here too, I think, when we just like initially got home. And then everybody left. And then it
gets so quiet so fast.
Yeah. But I think we were like ready for that. I think we were sick of, if you've had a baby, you know, I mean, bless their heart, they're just trying to check on you. But man, nurses, and like you talk about, like, sorry, let me backtrack a little bit. Talk about breastfeeding. Like it's not necessarily that I'm like the most confident with my body, but I didn't care. I was like, you know, I've been like, because of my myomectomy too, I think I'd just been like, felt up and looked at and like touched and groped and whatever. And I was just like, this is, and you know, when they were diagnosing me with all that, it was just like, do what you got to do. I just want to like get to the end of this.
Yeah.
So I will say though, it is very invasive when the nurses, for me particularly, would come in and like grab my boob and like show me how to like, you know,
squeeze it.
Like just push back and like get the fattiest milk from the back. And I was like, okay, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. All
right. But it is very invasive. Like you learn to know your body very well.
Yeah.
Be very comfortable with people.
And getting somebody else to know your body very well.
I told my husband, I was like, geez, I mean, not that you didn't know. Oh, I don't, whoever's listening to this didn't see my boobs before, but man, you get to see them all the time now, but you really don't get to do it. There's nothing going on. Anyway, so we get home and luckily again, she would have slept. I mean, bless my husband, he had like gated off because our dogs were very excited. And so he had gated off the bedroom. I got in the bedroom and then we kind of let the dogs like initially meet her. But we probably would have slept through the night if we didn't have to get her up. So I had to set an alarm and every 3 hours we woke her up, fed her, and then pumped and fed her anyway. We both had to get up. And the only reason we both had to get up and couldn't start shift sleeping right away is because Scott had to literally help me get up.
Get her.
Because I was – and get her and either give her to me and, like, help me set up because I was still, like, recovering from my C-section. Well, and it wasn't just the C-section. I got an organ removed.
Yeah.
So it was, like, another surgery. So maybe that's why I was so sore. I guess I think I put that in the back of my head. So I think it was probably by Saturday, though. It only took us like a day to kind of get into like how I needed to be propped up to where then I could just roll over and grab her.
Oh, that's good.
So and then we kind of put her with that bedside bassinet, you know, the side folds down. So I really only had to like kind of put my hand under her and pull her to me. And she was so light, it was like, and then he would change her diaper like afterwards. So when we did shift sleeping, initially, Scott would do like the, I don't know, 7 to 11 shift or whatever and let me sleep. And then I would kind of do the overnight shift until about 6 because he really doesn't nap.
Yeah.
He's not a good napper. Like he's not going to sleep during the day. Now we have no other kiddos. So like we didn't have to worry about a toddler at home. Like we could just nap in between. But you know, I can nap whenever and I am a very good napper. But it is different when during the day because it was like, even though I was tired, I was like, I'm just awake. Like, let's watch a movie. Like, we never get this time together either. I mean, we work together. My husband and I have a lot of time together. But we don't get, like, that quality time where we're just, like, not obligated to do anything.
He's enjoying the minutes together.
Yeah. So, and I guess I still, like, needed help doing a lot of things. Our bedroom's upstairs. And so it was just kind of like, okay, will you bring my snacks and my water? Because I can't carry all of this up and down. But so probably by like Friday, Saturday, right before I went back to the hospital, we actually started a routine of like, I would do the overnight shift. He would sleep all night for the most part. And then he would let me sleep in from like 6 until, I mean, whenever I wanted to like get up.
Yeah.
Because I had enough milk like stash. And he was so sweet. I just remember in the beginning, like he would bring me my pumps after he changed her. I would pump or like, you know, after feeding her, whatever. And then I would pump because like in the beginning, you're right. Your boobs are just like constantly full.
Yes.
So
it's an odd feeling if you're not used to it.
And then he would like take them down and like pour them in the bottles. And at that time he had bought like my husband. Oh, my God, guys. When we got home from the hospital, he had done some like boring shopping, like boredom shopping. When we got home from the hospital, I think there was 50 new Amazon packages. And he was like, well, we need all of this stuff and like all of this stuff. So we came home to like a whole nother baby shower worth of stuff. But thank God he did because we had like new blankets, bottles. So we had like 10 of those Dr. Brown bottles. And so I would just, you know, fill them up all and then we'd wash them all. So we always had like tons of bottles. He could ready feed her. So he could feed her when I was sleeping.
Yep.
But yeah, so, and then I went back to the hospital and then he did around the clock shifts and I pumped in the hospital and then the nurses kept a stash. But anyway, we can get into that another episode. But so we got into a pretty good routine for a while. And then when I got home from the hospital, we got into a pretty good routine until he went back to work.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of like doing what you were doing. Not like resentful that he was sleeping, but then he kind of stopped. I was kind of doing the whole like night shift into morning shift. And then I wasn't used to being home by myself. And even though I had recovered, it was like, I'm exhausted. And
yeah.
Then that's kind of when she like shifted. It's not that she wasn't sleeping well, but she had gained the weight because we had to go to the doctor early on. And like we had some appointments where she never thankfully dealt with like Billy Rubin
jaundice
issues, jaundice. But she needed to, they wanted her to like
make some goals,
huge weight gains before we could stop coming so consistently.
Right.
So she did do that. It took like a little bit, and but Scott takes everything very literal because like the one guy doctor that we saw, he was like, she needs to gain like, I don't remember how many pounds it was. I think it was like 3 pounds in the next like week. And he was like, I'm giving you like 4 ounces. And sometimes she didn't want it all.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, nope, you're taking, he would like, not for, I don't mean this aggressively,
just
guys.
Keep
I
just trying
mean,
to
like,
feed her.
He was like, we're getting you there. Like, we're not.
And now she's the cutest little chunky baby.
She's the chunkiest little roly poly ever. And I love her. And everybody comments about her cheeks. We actually went to swim class today and this lady was like, look at those cheeks, I could just eat. And I was like, oh, Lord. Anyway, so yeah, so we got into a good schedule until he went back to work. And then it was like a whole nother schedule. Because then I was kind of by myself. And then when he got home from work, he was tired and he was helpful. But it was like, ooh, he needs a break.
Yeah.
But I really need not a break, but you know, you're just like from, it's a different kind of break. And then
I always tell Garrett, it's called being touched out.
Like, yeah.
I am touched out because he would want to like, and it's not so much like physically touched, but it's like the constant thinking of somebody else's needs above your own. And yeah. Then also thinking about, oh, the dishes need to be done, dinner needs to be made,
yeah,
her bottles need to be like made, cleaned, my breast pump has to be cleaned. Now you're doing it all by yourself. Did he think about any of that today?
Yeah, no.
Absolutely not.
No.
He thought about, holy crap, when I get home, how much sleep am I going to get before I have to get back up for work? Yes.
And no disrespect to men. It's not like their brain functions that way, but it's like when they go back into work mode, it is just like, oh, the light switch has flipped and it's not inconsiderate or anything, but it is kind of like, hey, I'm over here on a boat about to drown. Yes. Please help.
And I have a hard time asking my husband for help. And so I have had to swallow my own pride and realize that they don't have that brain. Their chemical didn't change when they had a kid. And I tell Garrett this all the time, your life only changed a little.
Like, right.
We've just added another person that you feed. And whereas my brain is constantly thinking about his needs or their needs and what I need to do to make sure that their needs are met.
Yeah.
Whereas Garrett is very much like, what can I supply for them?
Sure.
Like, I need to go to work. I need to make the money. I need to, you know, he's very oriented like that. Like, I need to provide for my family that way.
Right.
Whereas I had to ask him, what would help me the most is if the dishes were in the dishwasher when I got home and the bottles were done.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is important. I think that we underestimate the power of communicating.
Yes.
And I know there is a lot of pride. I think that is very understandable. But I think, like, one, men can't read our brains. And two, I think what we expect of them is not unrealistic, but I think it's also how we communicate it.
Because
even Scott has said, like, you know, all you have to do is ask for help. But sometimes I ask for help and, like, because I don't, it's like not necessarily that I don't want to ask for help, but it's like the assumption of him should just already know because I've already asked this before. So like, you should just know this is like a continuous thing. I shouldn't have to keep asking, but I can get kind of like passive aggressive.
Me too.
And I really try not to, but then, and then I feel horrible when I do it. So then I backtrack. And then it's funny because it kind of turns into this like, well, I should have seen this coming. And it's like, oh, just shut up. Like, it's not, you know, it's kind of like this. We all know that everybody needs help. And so it's like, you know, but it's hard. It is hard to ask for it because you're like, okay, I can get it all done and I can do it by myself. And then it's like, no, I really just need a few extra
things. I can do it, but I don't have to. I think that's what I have to remind myself because I have a coworker at work where she's always like, I was a stay-at-home mom, so I, you know, I did all the home mom stuff, which bless those moms. And sometimes I wish I was a stay-at-home mom because you do get to spend more time with your kids and all of those things. But she's always like, moms just do it all. And I have to remind myself, but I don't have to.
Yeah.
I have a husband who, and my mom tells me all the time how different this generation, like us raising our kids now is from versus when my dad was raising us, of just like,
mom's
men didn't raise kids. Yeah. That's not, they weren't as involved as they are now. And it's like, well, I have a husband who, one, wants to be involved, and two, who I can ask to be involved. And
yeah,
I have to remember that he, as much as I don't like that, like, women run the household, like, you don't want that stereotype. That's how our brains work. And
yeah,
men's brains aren't, okay, diapers need to be changed, bottles need to be made, beds need to be cleaned. Like,
I think it's important to have the partnership. Yeah. And it's not even like the, I know a lot of people say 50-50, whatever works for you, but a partnership is just like, where do I pick up the pieces that are lacking? And that could change from day to day for each person. You know, it's like, oh, I've noticed that they, like, you know, haven't had a chance to get this done. I'm going to, like, help them today with that. Or, like, you know, and I think it was kind of interesting and really important. And it kind of clicked with me after the fact, but at Hannah's cousin's baby shower, she just had a baby in December. But one of the, your aunts brought up, like, I think it's really important that men feel confident with their kids.
Yeah.
And that really like rang home for me because when I was in the hospital, I clearly wasn't there. My daughter was 4 days old. My husband was doing around the clock shifts. He was a brand new parent. Not that he hadn't been exposed, but like not as a round the clock. And then he was coming to the hospital worried about me. I get home and I'm like, oh, don't wipe her like that. Oh, don't do that like that. And he's like, I've been here for a week with this baby. Like, she's fine. Like, don't you dare. And it was kind of like, oh, yeah. Like, and it's also like, I, as moms, we do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
As dads, they do things differently. It doesn't mean that there's a right or a wrong way, but like, we can't expect them to operate in the same way that we do. But then it's also important, like, to instill that confidence. Like, okay, yep, you're right. You got it. Like,
yes.
Go for it. And then you can go in your room and be like, oh, I hear that one. He does now. I'm just kidding. But it's important to support them because I think as moms, we feel confident right off the bat in a way, even though we don't know what we're doing.
It's like pretend confidence. It's like,
well, and I think it's because you bond with them.
Yeah.
You get to bond with them in a way that they don't get to bond with.
You feel like
them.
You're meeting their needs the way they need to be met. And like you said, there's more than one way to do things right.
Yes.
And I'm still doing that with Garrett today. I mean, it's hard. He tells me all the time, he's like, just let me be their dad. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I don't like the way that you're being their dad, so you do it differently. But I have had to be like, you know, what he's doing isn't hurting them. It's not negatively affecting them. Like, they're not getting hurt. They're not crying. Like, just let them, let him be. Yes. Just do it the way he wants to do it. But I'm...
We just have a vision, I think, as moms of ways that we think things should be done. And not to say that our vision isn't correct. No. But I think Scott goes, well, if it's not your way, it's not right. And I'm like, fair. Okay. I needed to hear that. Because I do need to like hear that every once in a while. You're right. It's not about my – it shouldn't be about my way. It's just like, this is the way I do it. So I want to see you do it my way. But it doesn't mean it's the right way or that you don't have a way of doing it that's still correct.
Yes.
But I thought that was really important because I think, like you said, my dad was super involved in my life when he could be, but he was the breadwinner. Like my mom was a stay-at-home mom until I was five. And pretty much a stay-at-home mom during our school season because their busy season was in the summertime.
Right.
So, but as soon as he got home, like he would give us whatever energy he had left, but he was gone for most of the day. Now he like made it to every school function that he possibly could, but he was the breadwinner. He was the bringing home the money. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it makes sense. Cause it's, you know, I think it was a different, just,
it's just generational.
And the way they looked at it. I don't think
they the way that they were raised. Yes. I mean, they're like, my dad's dad was never around. I mean, that just,
which is,
he went to work, he would come home, and then the kid, the like moms would get dinner on the table and then they'd go to bed. Like, that is just, and both my parents worked full time. So we didn't really get those. My mom would take hours off during the summer a little bit, but he came to every function. He wanted to be involved. And, you know, my parents were really young when they had Scott and I. Right. So my dad always says, I was a kid raising a kid. I didn't learn, he says, I didn't learn to be an adult until I was 40, and my kids were already grown.
Yeah.
So he's like, if I would have started later, I think some of the things I did, Scott versus me, would have changed the way that he parented. And I'm sure. Not necessarily like God put you or religiously, but he's like, things happen the way that they were supposed to. Scott is who he is because of the way he was raised. Yeah. He's a good man, trustworthy, knowledgeable, smart. And I right. think my dad forgets that. But it's just, he's always like Garrett is so involved in the boy's life. And he's like, you can tell he's trying to be that grandpa.
I think
now.
He makes up for it as a grandpa. He is very yeah. involved in everything that they can possibly. When he's out here, he is like everywhere.
Yes.
Doing everything with
But it's
all
funny
of them.
When Evie gets a little older and you guys start like going to do stuff, I can tell my dad will stand back. Because that's what he's used to. And oh. I'll be like, go in there with him. Go play with him. Yeah. And then he'll go do it. But he's like, he kind of reverts back of just like standing by and watching. Because that's what they did when they were raising kids. It was like, fair. Let the kids go be kids. Whereas now dads are like, and because of the way the world is today. I mean, like, you have to keep your eye on your kid. Like,
oh, yeah. No.
Just because it's scary and yeah. the things people say. So my dad will sit back for too long. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You gotta go follow him around.
Well, and I think nowadays, too, it's just like, I think they did studies where, I mean, nothing against single parent households. You do the best that you can and yeah. you do a great job. But I think that especially for like little girls, like it's really important that they have their dads involved yeah. in their life as well as little boys, because they teach them things that us as moms, like we use different
know.
Parts of our mm-hmm. brain, and like there's just different things that you teach them. And like little girls should, it's important for them to have moms, and like boys to have moms so that they know how to treat girls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it does. They say the most successful is a two-parent household. Now that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be both be in the house. As long as there's two people involved, you know, mom and dad, even if it's separate or whatever. I just know that both influences are extremely important.
Or having those influences,
yeah,
grandpa influences, or
right. kind the of family dynamic, village. But it's yeah. like, yeah, I've definitely like heard that is like, you know, playing a big part. Because, you know, growing up in our generation, I feel like divorce was a big thing. And when yeah. divorce happened, I just feel like things happened to some of those kids that didn't have those strong, like, hey, it's not, we're both still involved. And like the parents that kind of really just like,
couldn't figure it
because they were so angry with each other, and then their kid got lost in the middle of it. So,
well, and I think we're Scott and I and you and your brother so lucky that our parents are.
I think that's not as common anymore, yeah. unfortunately. Well, and even with these younger generations, they were saying like even our generation now, they were like the average, you know, marriage expectancy is like 8 years or something
oh
total.
Gosh.
And I'm like, that's so sad, because yeah. like, then what are, like, why are, what are vows? What are you saying?
Yeah, what
and
are
then
we doing?
When kids are involved, it's like, well, now, you know, it's, you don't just have your life that you're messing. I'm not saying stay together if you're really toxic. Like kids can, that traumatizes and messes
yeah.
up a kid just as bad as like, you know, being in that same household or whatever. But, I don't know. I think, like you said, it's just great that dads, especially like Scott, is very involved. And
yeah.
now the schedule, especially like going back. Sorry,
nope,
we got sidetracked and we're going back to schedules. But like even now, so whoever stays home with Evelyn, because we're lucky enough to be able to stay home with her a couple days a week while in our slow season, that person that's been with her all day. Like, not that we don't love her, but, you know, you need some adult interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Scott's been home with her all day, I will come get her for like at least a little while and like give him a little bit of a break, and like he cooks dinner because he's been home, and then it like flip-flops.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, because they were like, okay, I love her to death, I've been with her all day, but I just need like, you know, 30 minutes to an hour to either like he comes down and works out, or he needs a shower, or just like, you know, just
yeah.
to kind of like have that balance of like, okay,
mental health, man.
Yeah,
it's important too.
I've been talking to baby all day, which is, she's fun to talk to, but don't get much back at the moment. So,
well, and that will get harder the older she gets, because she'll
sure
her needs will change,
right?
It kind of like with Rocky, it kind of went like a roller coaster. It was like the stage you're at with Evelyn now, it's like, oh my gosh, I just need 30 minutes to myself, and now I can like plop him in the living room and he'll play by himself,
right?
So it's like I can still get that, but Garrett hasn't quite learned how to do that yet.
Sure.
So like if one of the kids is homesick, he can't cook dinner. He can't go to the bathroom. And
yeah.
I get home and he's like, I haven't had a minute. And I'm like, he will stay in there and play
yeah.
with himself. Like,
just tell
just
him.
Just go do it.
Well, so like, how does your guys' schedule look different now that you're both back to work?
So both of my kids are in daycare full time. So okay. They go Monday through Friday. I hate saying it because it makes me feel bad, but like 6:30 to 5.
So do you drop them off?
I drop them off and pick them up.
Okay. Because Garrett works overnights.
Yes.
Okay.
So he's not home until like 7:30 and he leaves at, he starts getting ready for work at 7:30. So he's like on work mission from 7:30 to 7:30.
Now, does he cook dinner?
He does. Okay. So we are in a pretty good routine where I drop off. He comes home. He sleeps. He gets up about right when I text him when I leave work and he gets up and then he cooks dinner. And then I pick up and we get home. We eat. And then we have about an hour for like cleaning up the kitchen. So one of us will like clean the kitchen while the other one is playing with the kids. And
yeah.
We try to flip flop.
Sure.
And then Garrett's favorite thing to do is pick out the boys' clothes for the next day. So he picks out all their outfits, gets all the nighttime stuff ready. Then we do bath time. And then he reads the boys' books for bedtime. And then he leaves.
So they get that time with him. I mean, that like, yeah. is a good balance, I feel like. They get mommy time and daddy time. And then on the weekends, they get mommy and daddy for the most part.
Some days.
Like, yeah.
Depends on Garrett's schedule. Yeah. yeah, so I... But I like if Rocky and I are in the house for too long, we both go crazy.
Sure.
So we try to plan something every weekend if it's just the three of us. Like,
yeah.
Right now, since my mom is in town,
right.
We go hang out with her and we'll go to the park or we'll do this or I try to come over here or get my cousin involved or, you know, at least get them to the park by myself, which is quite the adventure sometimes. But I need to get, we have to get vitamin D or the two of us.
I think it's important in general, but fresh air.
Yes.
Well, especially with little kids. I mean, my nephew is the cutest, sweetest thing ever. And he was the first one on this. Well, Maggie was technically, but within our immediate family, obviously. But he is a spitball of fire. He
does not stop.
He's the typical toddler. So it just cracks me up because I think even my daughter, the first time he came over, I mean, he was like hugging her and she doesn't have a sibling, so she wasn't really exposed to another kid, and you could tell she was just like fascinated by him. She was just like, I don't really know what to do with you, but I'm like, this is awesome. Somebody's just showing me something, hugging me and kissing me, and now he's back over there talking to somebody else.
And he never stops talking, I'm sure it's normal for most kids, but as like a first-time mom, when people tell you your kid is so smart, you feel so proud. But my pediatrician was like, oh my gosh, he's talking like a three-year-old. And I was like, heck yeah, little genius. I'm sure he tells every kiddo that. But people tell me all the time, he never stops talking. He doesn't stop talking. He talks a lot. And I'm like, I am aware.
Which is funny because it's not that you don't talk. You're actually probably more talkative than Scott is, but you tend, in general, I think your family is on the quieter side compared to me and my family.
And Garrett's quiet too. So.
Yeah. No, Garrett can be, I mean, your husband's awesome, but sometimes I'll forget he's in the room. I'm like, oh, hi, Garrett. You are still sitting there.
He's quiet and
he's very
contemplative calm. And he thinks a lot.
Yes.
And he has really bad ADHD, which he was telling me the other day that, because I was telling him how I'm an active listener. So I make a lot of faces and I go, mm-hmm, and I'm listening and I'm nodding and I'm actively, so you know that I'm listening to what you're saying. Yes. And I was like, you are not an active listener. And people think that you're mad. And I can tell because your face goes blank and you don't say anything because you have to think. And he's like, that's ADHD. I'm either making fake faces and not listening, or I'm listening and not reacting. And I was like, I guess that makes a lot of sense. I was like, I get it, because we don't like, I mean, we've been together for 10 years, so it's just like, it is what it is. But sometimes, like, you'll ask him something and he won't respond to you. And you're like, hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Anybody there? That was a question.
and then he'll respond like a minute later. And I'm like, my brain is just like, constantly. I can think of 500 things at once and answer all 500 things. And he's like, no.
Yeah.
Because you were over last weekend and I was like, are you mad? Like, Did you answer any of her questions?
Yes. And he was like, I know he's how, like, I don't know him so well that I know all of his operations, but I've been around him long enough now that I'm just like, he definitely responds. And it's sometimes it's one word answers, and it's, I don't take it offensively at all. Cause I know it's just like him, and he's usually, you can tell he's like busy with the boys, or he's like, you know, tired, just got up. But, and I'm also, I think used to it because Scott, it's like, he says I talk a lot, and like my expressions, my eyes get really big. For anybody, if we ever do video, you'll see what I'm talking about. I cannot help this. Like, this is how I've been forever. And sometimes Scott will be like, do you have to talk? And I'm like, honey, we've only been together almost 6 years. You knew what you married. Like, no, I cannot change who I am. I can't sit here and just like not express,
accept it.
Yes, it's hard because I'm like, I try really hard to like stay even tone and like not use my hands and not make faces. And I just, it's, if I have to focus on that, I can't focus on what I'm doing.
That's what Garrett said. He's like, I either am.
So maybe I have a little ADHD in a different way.
Yeah. He's either like, I am who I am, or you're going to get fake and I'm not going to be listening to what you're saying.
Yeah. See, and I don't wear fake well because I'm like that expression person. Like when somebody, like if somebody really bothers me, which is rare, but it's like if somebody, and I can't fake nice. I mean, it's written like all over my face. Or if I don't like a person or an expression, it's just like, I can't hide. Because I'll say it on my face before I realize that I'm saying it. And then they're just like, ooh. I'm like, ooh, that's not good. So I really try to just be, you know, it's like, and when I am around, like in certain circumstances, it hasn't happened in a while. But when I am around people that I tend to butt heads with, or like, can't, you know, I'm just kind of like, okay, anybody need something to drink? Or like, I kind of have to excuse myself. Because one, I'm not very good at holding back. I kind of am a more like harsher, honest person in a nice way. Like if somebody asked me their honest opinion that I really truly tell didn't it. Like, I was like my poor other sister-in-law, if she ever listens to this, at the beginning she knows I didn't love her.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I didn't love her. I think I had issue. I was more protective over my brother and there were some things that happened. But when she left one morning, I definitely like laid into her and like just kind of let her have it. And I was in the wrong. I will admit that and should have done it better. But you know, anyway, we got a little sidetracked, but so schedule. We went back to schedules. Is there anything else that you think that we should touch base on before? Well,
just a fun thing to wrap up. How did you introduce Evelyn to the dogs? How did that go? Okay. We both have a house full of dogs, so yes, it is part of our lives.
So Scott actually, Bella, our Rhodesian Ridgeback mutt, loved our nephew. So we knew and she's always been good with kids, but she does get a little too like in their face, but knew she would be fine. And Boomer is pretty, I mean, he's like our gentle giant. It's Tucker, our little Jack Russell terrorist, love him to death, but that we were like a little more concerned about because he was the baby of the family.
Yeah.
And I actually, so I didn't really get emotional. Like, I don't know if it wasn't my hormones like super spiking, but I never really had like too many crying moments in pregnancy. Like, I never had like a really big imbalance of like emotional stuff, except for like 2 weeks before this baby was born. And I was like, I don't want the dogs to feel like they're getting replaced, because they were like my fur. I mean, you know, everybody, I understand she was going to come first, but it was like, they need to have bones and special treats. And aww, like, we need to make this work. So I had actually worked with them like when I found out I was pregnant, and I was like, we're going to get them like walking better on leashes because I want to like incorporate them as much as I possibly can. So when we came home, Scott had gated off the bedroom upstairs. Mm-hmm. He let them outside, like shut the door. I went upstairs. We put the doggy door up, and then we let each dog in one at a time.
Oh, that was good. Starting
with Bella, because she was the most excited, and she wears her smile, if you know those dogs, and she was just like, I can't believe I have my own baby, because they say dogs can sense when you're pregnant. So I figured they knew
100%. Yeah.
And so Bella came in and she was super excited. And just,
did you
like,
leave her in the car seat or did you have her out?
No, I had her like, we had her on the bed actually. And I was like protecting, like kind of had her in that donut pillow protection. But she like got to sniff her and lick her, and Evelyn slept through the whole thing. And then I think Scott let them in individually, if I remember correctly. And then we let them all in and they slept on the bed just fine. Aww. But Tucker smelled her. The cat, we also have a cat. The reason we don't talk about him is because he hides. But a lot of people say cats like love baby toys and like love babies and want to get in the crib with. Our cat wants nothing to do with her. Doesn't want anything to do with her toys.
Doesn't want to do with anybody.
No, he's gotten better though. I mean, he like loves me probably more because I spend the most time with him. It's a little dumpster cat, but Yeah, he does not want anything because, like, my daughter, when he comes down, will chase. She'll, like, she doesn't see him very often. Yeah. So she's, like, infatuated with him. And he's like, nope, bye. And then he'll just go up and sleep under the bed. But everybody did really well with her. The only dog, like, initial greeting, great. They're still really gentle. They've always been gentle with her. Anytime we laid her on the ground or anything, surprising. She's never, like, they've never stepped on her or anything. Never gotten, like, crazy around her. The only dog we have a slight, not issue with, but tend to have still like the battling of the babies is Tucker.
Yeah.
So he likes her. I think he gets a little nervous about her energy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't love most little kids until a certain age because I think it's just like too much energy for them. But recently with her like morning bottle because she like self feeds, he'll lay on her pillow with her and she'll just tap him and he'll lean in and it is, I've gotten a couple videos and it's super cute. Otherwise he's growls like,
you're
at
almost
her.
Petting me.
Yeah. And he growls at her and she just laughs, like giggle laughs, like thinks it is hilarious. And we've talked about how this is like good and not good. We're like, it's adorable, but then we're like, okay, we're not really teaching her that if a real dog growls at you, it's a safe. Warning. Yeah. It's not like a, this is funny. It's funny with him because we know he's not going to do anything to her.
But
I'm like, another dog. So as she gets older, we're going to have to really like kind of explain. And we kind of like stop her and we don't like let her terrorize our little dog. But, you know, she got like that roller cart on wheels and she can't walk yet, but she can run like hell in that thing. And she corners him. So then we have to go save him. But that's when he gets the most mad at her. Yeah, he hates that thing.
Like, you're terrorizing me.
But no, the dogs did great. I was actually really surprised that they didn't get like a little more. They just kind of, they, like you said, they kind of knew to be gentle with her. So, and she can pull on Bella's face all day long and Bella just doesn't care. I mean, we don't let her terrorize her, but she's like, oh, it's okay. You're my little human.
Yeah.
So
Bella is a sweetie.
What about your dogs? How did they do with Rocky and then obviously Sunny?
With Rocky, I think we, you know, they tell you to like introduce one dog at a time. Yeah. Do some, and I'm like all in all at once.
You're like, let's just get it on.
Yeah. So we kept Rocky in the car seat when we walked into the house and they bombarded us. And they were sniffing and all this stuff, trying to like climb into the car seat with him. And so then we got back into our bedroom and Garrett took Rocky out of the car seat and they just all kind of sniffed him. And they did pretty good for the most part. With Sunny, we kept him in the car seat and put him behind a gate and the car seat up to the gate.
Okay.
So they could sniff him. Sure. That seemed to go a lot better.
Okay. Because your dogs, I mean, I have two big dogs, but your dogs are bigger.
I have four big dogs.
She has four big dogs.
Yes. I would say Jackson is my oldest, and he just is like, I'm the baby, and now there's two babies in this house. WTF. So he is just unimpressed. Duck just wants to play with them.
Yeah. Duck's a big baby himself. Yeah,
he's a big baby. Aspen is... She's my loner, so I forget she's there.
Because she likes people, but she's definitely like, okay, I'm going to go sit by myself again.
It's Bear who I have the most. He's a German Shepherd, and he is all up in their face, kind of like Bella, just like all up in their business all the time.
Yeah.
And Rocky does not like that. And as he's gotten older to where Bear is like actually in his face and like taking stuff out of his hands and stuff. And I think part of the problem is Garrett and I. When Bear does something wrong, we correct him. We, you know, sternly yell at him, tell him no. If he's, like, doing a problem, we, like, put him in his kennel. Like,
yeah.
We reprimand him for doing bad things. So now that's what Rocky has learned.
Oh.
So he has a hard time thinking dogs do things right.
Okay.
Because we don't a lot of times say, like, good dog, you didn't do anything wrong. Right. Good job. So kind of the same. We're having to teach him not to terrorize him because he's in his face. It's like, it's okay that he's in your face. You just need to tell him no. Whereas like when Rocky's eating dinner, Bear is like in his lap and that's on us. We need to train our dogs better, but it's like, we're correcting him by saying no, but he's like, Rocky's like kicking him. And I'm like, this is not good.
Yeah, no, well, and that's hard because you're like, you know, like we were just doing it upstairs. They're over at our house and we have our dogs and Bella loves Rocky and she gets right up in it and we're like, Bella, no, Bella, no, Bella, do you want to go outside? Yep. But it's like, okay, Bells, you need to come sit over here. Rocky, tell her to sit. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like learning.
It's but a
I think too, as parents, like you obviously care about your pets, but you're like defending your kid and you're like, there's a bubble zone. And then it's like, but yeah, there is a relationship that needs to be. He's also still young. I feel like I can totally.
Oh, I think so. And when you're like, don't yell at him. He's not doing anything wrong. Yeah. He'll like Rocky will correct himself. Yeah. But I also, we've probably not incorporated our dogs enough. I don't like sitting on the floor and a dog being in my face.
Fair.
And I've always been that way. I don't want my dog licking my face.
Right.
I don't want their tail wagging. And I, God bless me, I have four dogs and hate dog hair.
Yeah.
And all my dogs shed. So I don't know what I was thinking when we did that. But so I don't like the kids rolling around in dog hair. Sure. So I have gated off our whole living room. So like, unfortunately, like it's our dogs half of the house and our kids half of the house.
Yeah. And but they still get the outside and the basement.
Oh,
and
yeah. They're comfortable. They get the good side of the house. Yeah. I don't have to say anything because we have to go through the gate to get into anywhere else in our house. But I will appreciate the day when we can like
cohabitate
a little bit better. But I just think Rocky needs to be a little bit older. Sure. And then I'm going to have to go through the same thing with Sunny. So it's like, I think we got a little ways to go. But I love my doggies and I love my kids, but it's sometimes a torn and dogs aren't getting enough love. And it's a hard thing to have pets and babies, which is a whole nother topic we can talk about later.
But
I just thought it was interesting because we both have dogs and we both talked about like walking into that situation that we haven't really touched on yet.
No. So. Well, and I will say, I love you, Grandma. I'm going to put you on the spot. But my grandmother asked me, she loves animals, but. Well, I should say she likes animals. She had animals growing up. But she asked me, like, if I was getting rid of my dogs when we had
Evelyn. Oh, really?
I was like, no, not getting rid of my babies because of this baby.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's just funny because everybody's different and to each their own. But it was just like, no, we're going to cohabitate the best we can.
Yeah.
Which there's still, like, we still have to, like, work with them. I mean, it's not like like you said, it's definitely, like, stay out of our face. I will say having one and because our dogs are a little bit, I don't know. You have older dogs. You have a mix, I feel like. You have kind of a mix of old and young.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, with our dogs, like, they initially, when we bring her home, they're like all excited, and then everybody goes and lays down.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're not really in her face very often because they're like, okay, we're used to you just being down there.
Yeah. I think the three older ones would. They'd be fine once they
Bear calm stirs
down.
Them all up.
It's Bear. And he has an anxiety like complex, like he cannot leave Duck alone. I don't know what Duck puts pheromone he puts into the world, but he is like constantly biting his ears, trying to get on
top
of it.
Well, they play a lot, right?
Duck does not want anything to do with that.
Oh, really? I thought they play. Okay, fair.
Like Duck will sometimes get back at him when he's feeling good, but I'm like, so I get worried because Bear is a breed that is like that. If he's not a working dog, there's a lot of anxiety inside him. And I don't want him to get aggressive with my kids. And
right, fair.
He's never been aggressive with my kids, but I'm just not going to push that envelope.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you.
So I will appreciate the day when my boys are old enough that the dogs will go like sleep in their rooms and like be a part of
them. Take him for a walk.
Like be a part of their lives a little bit more. But right now, like when I throw the ball for Jackson, Rocky loves it.
Aww.
And he wants to throw the ball for the, like when we're at the lake, he loves that.
Yeah.
But I can't do that because we don't have a big enough yard and I can't walk four dogs and two kids.
No. Walk all our dogs individually, but that's I have to do it on my day off and we have to go around three separate times and not because my dogs aren't good with each other necessarily. They're not. When they see another dog, it's like all hell raises. Yeah, and I can't put my daughter in that situation. No. So we go around one at a time. But I'm like excited for the day, like you kind of said, when she can like, you know, whether we are holding the leash and she grabs on. But I'm like, I don't care if it takes your little legs, you know, 30 minutes to get around the block. Like, we're going to take the dogs each if we have to. It takes us an hour and a half.
Yep.
That's what it's going to take us. But like just learning the responsibility too. Yep. But cohabitating a little bit better for sure. No, I think that's important. Animals and kids.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think that's it for today.
Awesome. So again, if you are interested in or have any questions or you'd like to, you know, comment or give us your story, reach out to us at momvibesonlypodcast@gmail.com. But I think that wraps it up for this episode.
Thanks, guys.
Mom Vibes Only is hosted by Hannah Bain and Marky Martin. It is written by Hannah and it is produced by Marky. Music is written, performed, and produced by Mike Martin. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're enjoying Mom Vibes Only, please hit that follow button and rate and review us. If you have a story you would like to share or tips and feedback, please email us at momvibesonlypodcast@gmail.com. And a big thank you to our husbands and family who watch our kids so that we can bring this podcast to moms like you.